Thanks for checking out this week's message. I hope that it's helpful for you wherever you are on your spiritual journey. Here at Restore, we are a place where anyone can have a seat at the table and everyone can experience the extravagant love of Jesus. So I hope you walk away from this message knowing that you are deeply loved by God and that you can be fully loved by a church community. And if you don't have that, we would love to connect with you here at Restore. You can go to restoreaustin.org to find out more. Did y'all know that Restore turns 8 this month? Did you know that?
Yeah, 8 years old.
I know, you can clap for that, that's pretty cool. February 2016, we started right here in this building, in this room. Things were a little different. We actually used to be in the corner, which was weird. We had this couple of stage pieces right there, and then it kind of fanned out this way, which made it really awkward if you came in late because you came in the door right in the side of everything, and everybody would be like, oh, what are you doing? But it was like 40 of us, you know, so it wasn't as bad. Most people were like, oh, hey, it's good to see you. You know, it was really sweet. We've been in here, except for COVID, at this school, in this room, for 8 years. But the story kind of how we got into this school is one that I don't tell very often, but I want to tell you this morning. I was born and raised here in Austin. I met Matt, our worship pastor, in Dallas working at a same church, and started having conversations about what if we moved to Austin and started something new, something that was really for people who didn't feel like maybe they fit in some other church spaces, or people who had some difficult church experiences and were looking to reengage, or people who just really wanted to follow Jesus in beautiful and authentic ways. And we started planning and thinking about that, and we moved down here summer of 2015, and we started thinking about, okay, where are we going to meet together if we do something like this? And so it was way too hot to prayer walk, so we prayer drove around. and we just kind of were looking for spaces, and we actually bought this map I still have in my office, put it on a piece of like cardboard, and we would put little pins anywhere we saw an existing church, we put a white pin, and then anywhere we saw a place we might could meet, we put a red pin, and we drove kind of like, started downtown, and we drove all over the city and kind of figured out places, prayed about it, all this kind of stuff. And I remember this zip code here, 78704, it had a bunch of different like red pins, a very few white pins, very few other churches kind of in this area. And so we were like, man, maybe that's the area that we feel like we should go to. And then we really honed in on like this school. And so we started talking to some other people about it, and there'd been a church that started here like 15 years before, that like it hadn't gone very well. They'd only been here like 6 months and they moved out. They had some kind of problems with the administration, the neighborhood, some different things that had happened, and they grew really fast. And so actually they had people ended up parking all throughout the neighborhood and in front of people's homes and blocking driveways and stuff like that. And so the neighborhood association actually got stickers printed that said, "Where would Jesus park?" And they put them on the cars. Just brilliant, right? Brilliant. I love that. So they were here like 6 months and they left, and there was nobody here for like 12 or 15 years. And so we were told, we started asking about this facility, like, they don't want you, right? Like, they're never going to have another church there. So we were like, okay. But then one day I'm prayer driving around. It's like July, maybe June, July. And I drive by the school, and I really just felt like this kind of sense of like, why don't you just go knock on the door? You know, no students are here, but maybe some faculty or admin are there or something like that. So I just go knock on that front door that we all come in. And there was this older gentleman named Mr. Franklin. Mr. Franklin was the lead of the janitorial staff at the time. And he opened the door and we greet each other. We start talking, and you know, he's like, "Why are you here?" And I tell him, I'm a pastor. We're trying to start this church. And you know, we'd love to use this facility. And he said, "No way, I'm a pastor too." And I was like, "Get out of here, man. You're a pastor?" And he's like, "Yeah, I do this during the week, but then I drive to Waco every Sunday, and I've been preaching and leading a church there in Waco for like the last 25 years. And so we just like have this incredible bond that we start talking about it, you know? And he's like, "Listen, I would love for y'all to be here. I don't make those final decisions, but go out to the admin building, knock on the door, and see if the principal's there." So walk out there, knock on the door. Sure enough, she's there. Her name is Lisa Bush, and she's now in the administrative office. Incredible, incredible person. Opens the door, didn't have a great first impression, though. She opened the door, and she was like, "What are you doing here?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. We're a church, and I'm thinking about meeting here." And she was like, "We're not really interested." And I was like, "Okay." Like, pretty caught off guard. You know, I didn't really know what to do. And so I said, "Okay, well, listen, we want to be a church that has this core value of partnerships. right? Where we partner with people all over, including like schools like yours, where we can like serve and help and all this kind of stuff. And so I have this group of like 20 people that we're meeting with together every week, and we're like talking about becoming a church and what that means. And we really like want something tangible to do. So do you have something that we could do for the school? And she's like, not really. And I was like, ma'am, please. We will literally do anything. Like, just give me something. And she was like, okay, all right. Well, we have a lot of kids here who, you know, are lower socioeconomic and on free and reduced lunch and things like that. And so we ask that they dress up for like game days and big event days and drama, you know, when they have a drama performance and all this kind of stuff. And so a lot of the kids don't have or can't afford kind of nicer clothes, like, you know, button-down shirts and pants for the boys or dresses for the girls, things like that. And so we really need some like nicer clothes in these sizes. And so if you can do that, get us a bunch of like nice clothes for the kids to wear, bring them back, and that would be helpful. And I was like, on it. So we go back, the group of 20 people, I'm like, hey, this is the idea. We want to do this. So we started pooling all of our clothes that we had. We went to every dry cleaner in the zip code, because if something's left at a dry cleaner, you may have learned this the hard way, like more than 6 months, they like own it. And so we were like, hey, do you have anything that's been left here too long that we can like have? You can donate it to us. We can donate it to the school. One dry cleaner was like, hey, anything you get, we'll dry clean for free. Like press it, steam it, the whole thing. And so in about a week, we gathered like, it was like 200 pieces of clothing. It was like shirts and ties and pants and dresses and all this kind of stuff, all pressed in the little bags. And I went, you know, Principal Bush, you know, she opened the door and I just like have all these bags of clothes, you know, and she was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I was like, give me something else to do. She's like, well, we need school supplies. And I was like, all right, school supplies, let's do it. There was another church in town that was kind of helping us get started. And they were like, I said, how many school supplies do you need? She was like, we need 100 backpacks filled with school supplies. I was like, okay, that's 20 of us. So the math there, I don't know. We can try to get 5 apiece. But I go to this other church and they'd been asking like, how can we continue to support you guys? And I was like, listen, the school that we want to meet at, they asked us to do this drive. And I don't know if we have the capacity to get 100 backpacks filled with school supplies. Like, we just don't have the money for that or the capacity to do that. And he's like, we'll do it. We'll do it. And then we'll give it to you and you can act like you did it. You can take all the credit for it. And it was like such an incredibly kind and humble thing to do. And so the next week they did a drive. And then the next week after that, 100 backpacks filled with every piece of school supplies that a kid at this middle school needed. So back on Miss Principal Bush's office 2 weeks later, hey, could we, here's all the backpacks. I have like truckload of them. Can I bring them in? She was really blown away. And so about a week later, she emails me and she says, hey, why don't we schedule a meeting and let's talk about maybe you using the facility. And I was like, oh my gosh, so excited, right? But I'm nervous. So I'm like getting a whole PowerPoint presentation thing together, like a whole notebook of like the breakdown. Here's all the things we want to do. Here's like the amount of money that you would get as the school, the district would get, because they split the rent money. So we were like talking through all that. I'm all ready. Matt and I go for this presentation. And we sit down, Principal Bush is there with one of her assistant principals, and I was so ready to like pitch them all the reasons that they should partner with us. And she interrupted me as I started the presentation and said, no, we want to pitch you about meeting here. We want to do anything that we can to make sure you guys can use this facility. So what do you need? Chairs, lights in the ceiling, storage space, whatever it takes. We want you to be here. And I remember just being so blown away by that. And I tell you that story because this idea of like partnerships and coming together with the community has been infused into Restore's DNA from the very beginning, from day one. We're still in deep relationship with the school, still do school supply drives every year. Now we get to do them ourselves. We don't even have to pretend like we did them in another church. We get to do them ourselves now. And over the last few weeks, you know, we've been talking about like what the church is supposed to be. What does it mean to be the church? We talked about the first church, right? How the first church was known for being radically inclusive and a sacrificially loving community of people. And that wasn't just their goal internally, it was also their reputation externally. If you were here last Sunday, you remember I read this quote from the year 125 AD. This Greek philosopher named Aristides was attempting to explain Christianity to the Roman Emperor Hadrian, and here's how he described this early church. They love one another. They never fail to help widows. They save orphans from those who would hurt them. If they have something, they give freely to the one who has nothing. If they see an immigrant, they take him into their homes and rejoice over him as a brother. Now, I would venture to say, most of you would agree, that's not how most folks outside of the modern church in America would describe it, right? If they were attempting to explain what is Christianity in America, it probably would not sound a lot like this. So my question for us is, how do we change that? How do we put radical inclusion and sacrificial love into practice outside the walls of the church? Not just talk about it in here, but actually make it a reality. How do we begin to change this narrative? And here at Restore, we have a specific strategy for that. Partnerships. This thing that's been one of our core values from the very beginning. If you go to our website, you'll see it right there on the Who We Are page. It says, Restore mobilizes volunteers and funding to work with organizations who are already doing an amazing job helping people in need in our community and around the world. Now, obviously, nonprofit organizations haven't always been around since the days of the early church, but partnering together to support people in need is something Christians have done since the first century. Putting our faith into practice has been a core value of Christ followers since the very beginning. But far too often, 21st century Christian responses to significant societal problems are thoughts and prayers. I think that's probably more of our reputation today. But that isn't what the early church believed or practiced. James, the brother of Jesus, put it like this in his New Testament book. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. When we provide only lip service to helping people in need, no one actually gets help. And everyone else assumes that we're just hypocrites. We talk about following Jesus who healed the sick and fed the hungry and welcomed the outcast and set the captives free. But when we don't actually do it in a meaningful and tangible way, people don't believe us when we say that we really follow him. To paraphrase James, if we say, God bless you, I'll be praying, but do nothing to meet someone's actual needs, what good is it? Faith that's not put into action is dead. But when faith is accompanied by action, it comes alive like never before. A few weeks ago, I watched the new Color Purple movie. Have any of y'all seen that? Really, really good. You should watch it. Phenomenal. There's this character named Sophia, and she unjustly goes to jail for refusing to work as a maid for a prominent white woman in her town. Sophia is left to kind of fend for herself in jail, except for one person, her friend Celie. Celie visits Sophia every single week in jail, bringing her home-cooked meals, keeping her company, even when it's dangerous to do so, even when she gets threatened, even when she gets beat up, even when Sophia is like, I don't even want to see you anymore, this is too hard, Celie keeps showing up. 6 years later, Sophia finally gets out, and they're sitting around this dinner table one night, talking about God, talking about family, talking about what it means to be in community. And Sophia turns to Celie and says this, you are the reason I know God is real. He lives inside of you. Sophia knew that God was real because Celie showed up for her. Celie didn't just say, I'm so sorry you're going through this. She didn't just say, I'll be praying for you. Celie showed up, and God showed up through her. The reason I know God is real is because of you, she said. Because he lives inside of you. I saw him every time you showed up to visit me. I saw him every time you brought me a hot meal. I saw him every time you endured danger and oppression in order to be my friend. That's how I know that God's real. The same is true for us, y'all. When we show up in real, tangible ways for other people, God shows up too, in us and through us. That's why Scripture calls us the hands and feet of Jesus. We are continuing his same work in the world today. And as I said a moment ago, here at Restore, we want to be all about showing up. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to be about it. We want to put our faith into action. And I said a moment ago, we have a number of kind of internal mechanisms, like our benevolence team that helps meet basic needs for people, and our care and compassion team that supports people going through difficult times. But we've also formed these partnerships with nonprofits here in Austin and around the world. And I want to tell you, before our partners come up and they get highlighted, two really important reasons why this matters so much to us at Restore. Number one, partnerships allow us to demonstrate the tangible love of Jesus outside the walls of the church. Like we said earlier, so many people are struggling to describe the modern American church in any positive light. And a lot of that is a reputation that has been earned by us. But it doesn't have to be the forever truth, right? We can change this narrative. Last week I talked about how in the last 25 years, 40 million people have left the church in America. 40 million. But I believe there are so many who are ready to come back in if they actually saw a group of folks doing what they said they were going to do. Not just talking about following Jesus, but actually following Jesus. So that's reason number one. Reason number two, partnerships allow us to more effectively meet tangible needs through the resources and expertise of our partners. The partners that you are going to hear from today, and all of the partners that are listed on our website, they are experts in what they do, right? They are so good at meeting the needs that they have been called to meet. You know what? We could start like a foster care community, like Austin Angels has, right? We could do something like that internally, but we wouldn't be very good at it. We wouldn't know what we are doing. We wouldn't have the resources and the expertise and the time and all of that stuff, right? We could start a ministry to people experiencing homelessness, but would we really know what we're doing? Would we end up causing more harm than good? Maybe, right? But instead, this idea of partnerships allows us to do what we do best, which is show up and let God show up in and through us and be the hands and feet of Jesus to folks who need support and help. We can do that part. We can mobilize volunteers and funding to these organizations that are already doing incredible work in our community. Those are the two big reasons that we love partnerships. And all of this is why, since before we even officially launched Restore 8 years ago this month, we have been doing that, mobilizing people and volunteers and even funding to our community partners. So I'm so excited that you're going to hear for the rest of our time together this morning from our 7 community partners. I'm going to pray, and as I do, our executive pastor Lindsay is going to come up, and our 7 community partners that we're highlighting are going to come up as well, and you're going to get to hear from them. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the directness of your words through James, the way that you remind us through the brother of Jesus that just talking about it isn't enough, that following Jesus means that we are people of action, putting tangible practices into place to help support people in need. God, we are so grateful that we get to be a part of a community that does that. I pray that we would continue leaning into it, and that even today, as we hear from these amazing partners and hopefully sign up to connect with them and serve alongside them, that you would show up through us. You'd begin to change the narrative about Christians here, that we would be known as people who love you, not just with our words, but with our actions. And who love our neighbors, not just with our words, but with our actions too. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all give them a hand as they come up. You're good.
Hi, everybody. My name is Lindsay, if we haven't met, and I'm the executive pastor here at Restore, and I am so excited that we are having our first community partner fair. And so how this is going to work is that each representative of each agency is going to say about who they are, the people that they serve, and how y'all can get involved. And then there'll be a time after they leave where you can go talk to them in the cafeteria and get signed up. So we will start right here with my friend David.
Hello, everybody. I'm David. I work with Impact Now Dove Springs. See the logo on my shirt? when I came to talk to you guys last April, around Easter, we were serving about 120 families a week. We are a food pantry for the community. Our name is Dove Springs, but we really serve all of Austin. Over the past, you know, almost a year, we have now averaged serving 190 families a week. So we've increased a lot. Our highest number served was actually 2 weeks ago, and it was 247 families. So huge increase that week. Luckily, we went back down to about 190 last week, or we would have not had any food. So the ways that you can give back are like a few of your congregation. Are the littles here, Dan and Katie? They're all the way in the back over there. And then Megan. Is Megan here? Not here today. So Dan and Katie and Megan come pretty frequently, mostly every week, to help me unload food. We went from about 3,000 pounds a week to 7,000 pounds. So it takes a lot of food, a lot of hands to get that food from the U-Haul truck into our pantry. And then throughout the week, we have volunteers that come and pack our bags so that Saturday morning when we're getting there early, we're ready to go and can put the food in the cars right away. So volunteering is huge for us. We have Tuesday mornings and afternoons, Friday afternoons about 11 o'clock, depending on how much food I get, it takes a little longer to load the truck. And then Saturday mornings, we get there at 8 a.m. and we usually leave around 10:30. Saturdays are great for families. If you have kids, I bring my four and two-year-old with me sometimes. So you can bring your whole family to volunteer with us as long as you're supervising your kids. We get boxes of fresh food ready to go. And then we have this line of cars that come. And like I said, it's like 200. So this line of cars is huge. Our parking lot is packed, and we get those cars in and out usually around an hour, hour and a half. So we could really use that. We can also use money donations like everybody else. Money buys food. Money rents our truck. Money pays for staff. But volunteering is where we could use the most help. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, David.
Hi, everyone. My name is Catherine Santulli, and I'm the Hospitality and Engagement Manager for the Other Ones Foundation. My husband and I have actually been coming to Restore for about 2 years now, so I'm really honored to be able to kind of share the work that I do and so many other people with me do to serve Austin's unhoused population. We believe that everybody deserves access to three things: shelter, opportunity, and support. We are in the midst of building a 200 individualized shelter complex that is transitional housing down in South Austin. So we believe in the rapid rehousing method. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that, but it basically means that the sooner somebody can be in safe shelter, the less likely they are to return to being unhoused. So that's how we kind of meet that need. Opportunity. Our flagship program is our Workforce First program, which allows people who are part of the Other Ones Foundation to have access to low barrier work opportunities. So this includes cleaning up green spaces around the city, but also if people have different abilities, we have access to work opportunities for them as well and pay $20 an hour for that. For support, Zach talked a couple weeks ago about Jesus's individualized love for everyone, how it's not a one size fits all. And unfortunately, homeless services too often falls into the trap that one plan or one schedule, one track will work for everyone. And that's just not true. We have people who have been unhoused for a month and people who have been unhoused most of their life. One size fits all is not going to work. So when somebody comes to us, we have low client to caseworker management for each person that we work with. This means that our case managers are actually able to give attention to the real and many, many backgrounds that people are coming to us with. So that means that everybody who works with a case manager gets a plan that fits their needs. It's not going to be on our schedule. So a lot of times I talk to people and they're like, well, how long do people stay there? And that just seems like a long time. Yeah, it does. That's exactly right, because it means that we are actually helping people to get to a place where they can be in a sustainable path to permanent housing. So What we need, obviously, donations. When you become a monthly donor for the Other Ones Foundation, it really helps to sustain our work and help us plan for growth in the future, which is really exciting. A big burden, but it's very exciting work that I get to see and be a part of. And the other thing is, we just started a program called Supper Club. So this isn't about you showing up with meals and being like, we're here to help you. No, we want you to come and meet and spend time with the people that live at the Esperanza community. So when you host Supper Club, so that can be a group of 5 to 10 volunteers. So it's something that I encourage if you have a small group or people from your office and you're looking for ways to serve, that's something you can definitely do. Bring food, serve food, host dinner, play games with the people that live at the Esperanza community. So yeah, so that's what I do.
Thank you so much.
Hi, all. I am Carol Strakowski. I'm from the SAFE Alliance. SAFE stands for Stop Abuse for Everyone, and that is really what our mission is. We have services across the violence continuum. Most familiar to people is usually our shelter for survivors of domestic violence, but we also have prevention programs, education programs, early intervention programs, just a lot of services that we offer to folks who have experienced violence or to prevent violence from happening. I am from our Foster and Adopt in Austin program, and so we serve families who are providing either temporary or permanent homes for kids who can't stay with their birth families. We love to come alongside families who are caring for a relative's children or family friend's children to help them prepare them and help them sustain that placement and provide the best trauma-informed care for those kids who are living with them. And then also for folks from the community who just have a heart to take in children who need a safe, loving family. We provide training, we support the families, we provide parent coaching. We really just love coming alongside those families and helping them care for the kids who need it. So if you are interested and have a heart for foster care and adoption and are interested in what it takes to become a parent, I'd love to talk to you later. If you're not in a place to be maybe foster or adopt at this time but want to support those families who do, we're always looking for people willing to become trained in babysitting these kids to provide those families a needed break. My husband and I are actually adoptive parents. We adopted our kids through foster care. And I remember not long into our placement of our kids, someone providing babysitting for us. Our world had kind of been turned upside down by these little humans who joined our family. And their casa came alongside and babysat them for a night so that we could go on a date. And I remember looking at my husband and going, oh my gosh, I feel like a person again and not just a parent. And so we really need people who are willing to support our families in that way, who may even volunteer as a group to babysit or provide child care for the kids while our parents attend their needed required training. And then also our warehouse is always accepting donations that provide needed items for everybody within our organization. All the programs benefit from that. So thank you for having us today. And
thank you, Carol.
Hi, I'm CG. I am the founder of Louder Than Silence. We do long-term care, community, and resources for survivors of sexual violence. So as we like to say, if your house is on fire, call the firefighters, get out of the house. We're going to help you rebuild the house, brick by brick. And what that looks like for us is we do workshops and retreats and self-care kits and mentorships and all sorts of great things. And also, we provide a trauma-specific type of therapy called EMDR, which specifically treats symptoms of PTSD. It's incredible. It literally changed my life, which is why Louder Than Silence exists to begin with. But it is a space for people to know that they're not alone in their struggles. They don't have to feel like they're trying to figure it out on their own. And it's a peer-supported, survivor-led program, which means that all of the survivors are the experts because they've done it. They've lived it. And so it's so cool to see people who say, like, oh, I didn't know a 12-week workshop could literally change my life, because that is what it looks like to have this community of support. So how you can support that is lend your expertise. We're a very small organization. We're still kind of young. So whatever it is that you do, we probably need it. So if you're creative in what that looks like, I would love to chat with you because, again, if you do it, we probably need it. So there's that. We also need supplies, right? Like every other organization, there are physical things that we need. So the biggest way we can help is to hold a supplies drive for us for our self-care kit items. So that whether that's in your small group, whether that's in your office, your school, whatever it may be, but having those items really, really helps us out. And then also your expertise can go to doing sessions with survivors. So if you do yoga, we would love to have you come to one of our retreats and lead a yoga session, for instance. And as some other folks have mentioned, of course, dollars. Dollars are a thing. One of our big mottos at Louder Than Silence is survivors have paid enough. So everything we offer is at totally no cost to survivors because we truly do believe survivors have paid enough. They've paid with their time, their energy, their livelihoods, you name it. So if you consider donating today, it will really make an impact. Thank you.
Thank you, CG.
Good morning. My name is Sarah Hale. I'm with Austin Angels, and we are a foster care community support nonprofit. We were born and raised right here in Austin and now have 20 chapters nationwide. Restore has been partnered with us pretty much since the beginning, providing consistent monthly support to us so that we can provide consistent monthly support to children and families in care. And we believe that no child should ever age out of the foster care system without at least one healthy, loving adult who knows the color of their eyes and the passions of their heart. And we believe that every family that chooses to foster should have radical support from their community. So we do this with two programs, the Love Box program and the Dare to Dream program. Love Box supports the entire fostering family holistically, and Dare to Dream matches a volunteer with a youth experiencing foster care or that has aged out of foster care with one-on-one mentorship. I would love to invite you. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you because you do partner with us monthly. We also get to host our Back to School event here, which is amazing. Over 400 children get their exact school supply list provided, and they pick it up right here, thanks to y'all. Two ways that I'd love to invite you to partner with us. Number one is maybe consider becoming a volunteer and walking alongside a family or a youth. We know not everyone's called to foster, and not everyone's called to adopt, but everyone could do something to help. We'll have information at our table, and our volunteer coordinator is actually here with us today, so you can ask all the questions. And the second thing is that through a series of little miracles, we were able to buy an old church in Buda. And our plan is to tear it down and turn it into the Foster Care Community Center, where we'll be able to increase our services to the foster care community. We currently serve from San Marcos all the way up through Georgetown, three counties. But here, we'll be able to house our staff and also provide classes, trainings, really open up to the community what foster care support can look like. And we'd love for you to pray with us because we have to raise a lot of money for this to happen. And I just really believe that it's going to happen and that God has blessed every little step of this. And now we're at a really big step. So if you'd be willing to pray for that, we've got like 8 months to do it. So would really appreciate that kind of help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Toni McKinley. I'm the executive director of Magdalene House of Austin. And we serve women 18 and older who have been sex trafficked. They stay with us for 2 years rent-free. There's no cost for them to be there. And we focus on the intense healing process that they need from what has happened to them. We do professional development and get them back in the workforce. Our goal is that after the 2 years that they're with us, that they will never be re-exploited, trafficked, or just feel like they need to go back to that kind of lifestyle to pay their bills. And so we work on education, getting their GED. Some of them continue and go on to college. And we just coach and mentor them throughout this whole process for 2 years. We're a small organization located here in Austin, and we're in a home in a neighborhood just like you live in. And just recently, we bought the home across the street from us, and so we'll have two homes. And the reason for that is because we turn down about 200 women a year who are seeking help because we just don't have enough room. And so we're hoping to put a little bit of a knock on that number and get that number down a little bit. But ways that you can help is, if you know how to work on a house, we would love that. We always have little plumbing issues here and there, maybe a little electrical issue here and there. On March 28th, we're actually having a work day because at our second house, the lady was an avid gardener that got out of control. So lots of yard work we're going to need done on the 28th. And it's just come when you can. So you can find me at the table and learn more about that. We also need mentors for the women. When you're hurt in relationships, you need to heal in relationships. And any women who would like to come and mentor or be friends or have facial nights or movie nights or take them roller skating and teaching them different ways to have fun and bring that smile back on their face as they figure out who they are, because that whole time that they're here, they're working on their identity and really trying to figure out, what do I like? Who am I? Who do I want to be? Where do I want to work, right? So we work on a lot of like resume writing and interviewing skills and coaching them while they're at work to maintain that job and learn how to work with other people amongst all the triggers that come with that from being trafficked. So donations, of course, help. We always need those, but volunteers are what really help these women grow and learn about who they are and who they want to be. So thank you.
And if you wanted to volunteer for Magdalen House, we have opportunities for you to visit Simple Sparrow with these survivors. I'm Jamie Tanner. I am the founder and volunteer CEO of Simple Sparrow Care Farm. And if you're an American, you probably never heard of a care farm. What care farms provide are that we utilize farm nature for educational and or therapeutic interventions. And so think of Simple Sparrow as a family resource center, but on a farm. We are trauma-informed. We focus on how we can help regulate people, their brain, mind, and body through farm nature. And really what we love to do is support the supporters. So we're a very collaborative nonprofit. A lot of these people up here have actually partnered with Simple Sparrow in various ways, including Restore, Louder Than Silence, Magdalen House, I think Austin Angels. There's a lot of overlap with our care. Just to kind of give you an idea about our numbers, we provide a lot of trauma-informed trainings to the public. Those are our community outreach events. We served over 3,689 people in 2023 through those. Then we also have small group opportunities. That's where people come to the farm for group therapy. We've hosted group therapy for a lot of anti-human trafficking organizations, and then also families who are looking for opportunities to learn more about how to garden or raise animals, or they have a kiddo with special needs or trauma background, and they have an opportunity to come to the farm and really experience healing. With the small group programs, we served 1,925 individuals last year. And then we also provide trauma-informed therapy services. We partner with therapists, LPCs, who specialize in EMDR, a lot of different folks. We have occupational therapy, recreational therapists. We have 13 therapists right now that are meeting their clients at the farm, and they provided over 1,216 sessions in 2023. So where our needs are is how to sustain this growth and do it well. So of course, giving financially, like everybody, so we can pay staff, feed the animals, donating supplies. We have a list on our website for animal feed supplies, picking up bags of feed, hay, chicken feed, all those kinds of things. That's listed on our website. And then also coming up, we have our annual Chickapalooza event. And that's the shirt I'm wearing. Chickapalooza is a huge community event. It's when the farm is open to the public, so we can continue to provide education and accessibility. It's an opportunity for the public to come learn more about care farming as a modality, meet the therapist. We would love all of you guys also to come and have a table and talk more about how you serve the community. So we need volunteers for that. It's the third Saturday in March, and there's resources and information at our table. So thanks, y'all.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right, y'all can go out to the cafeteria, and I'll take that, that's fine. All right, I'm gonna give them a minute to walk out to the cafeteria and fill a couple of minutes before y'all just rush out to go talk to them at their tables. I just wanna say, I know that all of us are so busy, and I think that's just a constant refrain of, oh gosh, I'm so busy, I don't know what I can give, or things are tight. And I really encourage you to think about what are areas that you feel like you do have room to give, whether that is your time or items you have in your home, or I'm going to the grocery store, I can pick up a couple extra cans of this, that, or the other through the food pantry. I know that so many of you do volunteer with these partnerships. I think many of you know that I used to work for SAFE before I came to Restore, and working at SAFE is how I found Restore through their community partnerships, and it's been so life-changing for me, and it has been so encouraging to me when I am now on this side and I get to go volunteer my time, hang up clothing in the warehouse. If you're an instant gratification person, there's a pile of clothing, you put it on the hangers, and look what you did, and it's so done, and it's so helpful. So I really do encourage you to think about what are ways that you can give. And if you are part of our online community and you are not in the city of Austin, you can either give online to any of these organizations, or I do encourage you to find a local organization in your city that you want to support and volunteer. So yes, they are in the cafeteria. If you have kids in kids ministry, you do have time if you want to go talk to them before grabbing your kids. And I can't wait to hear about all the great things that y'all do in our greater community. Y'all are dismissed.